Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league home run with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Roe does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. Take five, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7 patrolling center field like a safety should?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side to the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by six more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots it. Score! Curry blocked the shot, sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it! DeMarco! 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. My name is Mike Miller. Cush is back at the studios. Glad to have you on board, everybody. This show was always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Those auto show specials continue. Visit today, MonroeSuperstore.com. One of my favorites, how about this? 2018 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Express 4x4, $148 a month for a 27-month lease. Not bad. Championship weekend is over. 52nd Super Bowl will feature New England and Philadelphia. Well, Philadelphia basically just dismantling the Minnesota Vikings. You know what? They kind of won their Super Bowl with that last-second touchdown to advance to the championship weekend. Came out. I thought they would have a hangover, to be quite honest with you. They came out, went right down the field, and scored. But after that, all I got to tell you, Jacksonville gave them a run. Talk now, of course, about a couple of calls that did not go, Jacksonville's way. But I'll tell you this much, you know, no conspiracies here. If you're going to believe on his head with the league office, there is no conspiracy that the league office would ever do anything to help New England. But New England wins it. Again, Brady, great down the stretch. New England, by the way, going to their chance to win their sixth Super Bowl championship. That would tie them with Pittsburgh. Philadelphia hasn't won a championship since 1960. Early lines that I've seen, 5-point, 6-point favorite for New England, of course, 52nd Super Bowl. Just a couple of things. We're going to work on this tomorrow. Robert Easter Jr. in that fight in Brooklyn. I'm going to try to get Nick Petrovich on yesterday. He was in Brooklyn covering that fight. And you wonder why MMA and, the UFC get huge numbers now. Isn't there always something surrounding boxing? I mean, day in and day out, split decisions. Guys don't make weights. There's supposed to be a championship fight. They didn't even fight for the title. I mean, it's one thing after another in boxing. You talk about a sport that continues to shoot themselves in the foot. That is boxing. And you know what? Sometime this week, we might have on some boxing guests as well to talk about that. Other news, Walleye 1-2 on the weekend against Kansas City. They're ready for a real rough stretch this week, 4 games in 5 days. They're in Reading, Pennsylvania. They're in Brampton. They're home against Brampton. They are everywhere. After playing 3 straight in Kansas City, they go 1-2. Also tomorrow, I'm going to try to get somebody on for the Pistons, probably Rod Baird, Detroit News. What's going on with the Pistons? What's going on with the Cavaliers? I heard a soundbite today with LeBron James asking, you know, acting like he has no idea what's going on in Cleveland. That might be the case now. But don't act like you're a guy that comes in the office every day and punches the time clock and punches out, hey, man, I'm just an employee and all this kind of stuff. He has dictated everything that's gone on in that organization for years. And what people to me, I want to make the comparison between Michael Jordan, LeBron James. All you have to do is look at the drama that has surrounded LeBron James every step of the way, you know, through his career. So, again, Cleveland faltering. Probably will have David Glazer on tomorrow. Might have Vic Petrovich on tomorrow to talk about that situation as well. Maybe Pistons going south. Cavaliers have gone south. Junior, of course, that fight in Brooklyn. Also a sad note here. Jim Johansson that I watched play, he was drafted by Hartford in the National Hockey League years ago, but he was the general manager of the USA Olympic team and all the amateur teams that USA Hockey, you know, basically put on the ice, the under-20s, the under-18s, all those organizations did a wonderful job. And Jim passing away in his sleep at 53, and got to know Jim just a little bit, but watched him play more than that. But you know what? Listen, news like that is never pleasant. But for the stories I read, he spent the week before his passing calling guys on the phone, telling them that they are members of the Olympic team. And why that stood out, the United States Olympic team, is the National Hockey League players aren't going this year. And you know what? A sad deal there. Everybody that was around him that week, he got the biggest thrill calling guys that would have had no chance of making an Olympic team and say, you know what? You're an Olympian and you're going to represent. Jim Johansson passing away too early at 53. Hockey talk continues. Chico Resch will join us from the Prudential Center in New Jersey. The Red Wings are there tonight. Then at 5:25 tonight, Mike O'Hara. We're going to talk National Football League Championship weekend. What's going on with the Lions? Much more. Drive Time continues with Chico Resch after this.
106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Glad to have you on board. This is Drive Time. It's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. We are home of the Detroit Lions, the Ohio State Buckeyes, and yes, in the Cumulus Cluster, the Michigan Wolverines as well. We'll have basketball tonight. The surprising Ohio State Buckeyes, they are 8-0. They are taking on Nebraska. More on that later in the show. Mike O'Hara will join us at about 5:25 tonight. Longtime Detroit News football writer, now with DetroitLions.com. He's covered the Lions for about 40 years. I want to ask him, of course, Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. He's the next head coach of the Lions, and his thoughts on that, and, of course, championship weekend. Yeah, this just came to my mind here. A guy that spent a lot of time in Minnesota, Glenn Chico Resch, joins me now. Longtime National Hockey League goaltender, been in the broadcast booth, both television and radio. Red Wings tonight at the Prudential Center in New Jersey. We'll touch on that. Hello, Glenn. How are you?
Good, Mike. Thanks for not bringing up the Vikings loss last night. It was devastating. Let me tell you.
Well, I got to tell you, I know you're, I believe, a Saskatoon guy, number one. And number two, you spend a lot of time in Minnesota. I mean, I guess that basically leads to a pretty good question. Did you grow up a Vikings fan?
Well, you know, I went to college at UMD when I was 17, Mike, and the Vikings were hot. They were growing. They had the Purple People Eaters. Bud Grant, who was the coach, had come out of Winnipeg as a coach. So it is not hard to become a Viking fan, and I did, and of course they went to 4 Super Bowls, and I knew some of the guys, Paul Krause and some of the other guys. I mean, and it's tough when you know, only one team can win, but when you get there, especially if it's multiple times and you don't win, that's your legacy. It haunts you the rest of your life, really. It does if you're a pro athlete.
No, it does. I mean, Buffalo and Minnesota this week, of course, being mentioned in the same breath. Red Wings in New Jersey tonight. Red Wings, one win in their last five. New Jersey, what are the great stories in the National Hockey League this year? I think Las Vegas is the number one story. Under Bowling Green graduate, by the way, George McPhee. But tell me about this one tonight, Glenn. What stands out? I did read that Corey Schneider is available to play in goal for New Jersey tonight. Red Wings are struggling. They got a lot of injuries as well, guys banged up. In your broadcast tonight, game show, what are you going to be talking about?
Well, obviously the big news this afternoon was the Devils' leading goal scorer and point getter and all-star player, Taylor Hall, will not play tonight. So that leaves a big hole up there. And you talked about the Devils. You know, they're a little bit better than Detroit. But, you know, you were just talking how this is the league, though, Mike. Okay, the Red Wings have lost four out of the last five. But before that, they had won four in a row. Before that, they lost three in a row. But before that, they won two in a row. I mean, it's the nature of the game now. And the Devils got off to a great start, which really helped. A lot of surprises. We had Bratt, who has taken, much like another Swede that you might know, Zetterberg, taken in like the third or fourth round. He's been terrific. Nico Hischier, a number one overall pick out of Switzerland. Been everything we hoped for. A few other surprises. So, off a term, just a devastating year last year, they've been able to turn it around. And I would just say to the Detroit fans, I know this is a tough year, but Mike, never before in the history of the game can you flip it in one summer if everything falls into place and become a contender the next year. And that's what the Devils have done. And they're not a shoe-in because it's so competitive, so close. But they have enough pieces to the puzzle that I think they can get in. And I look at the Detroit roster, and I don't know it that well inside out, but they just seem to be missing a couple of pieces that will probably keep them out of the playoffs.
You know what, Glenn? Red Wings tonight, 10 points behind the Rangers for that final wild card spot. They're six, by the way, in the Atlantic. You mentioned the roster. Abdelkader will not go tonight. Glendening will not go tonight. Helm will not go tonight. And Trevor Daley, we understand, out of the lineup for the Detroit Red Wings as well. You know, just to echo what you're saying there, and I mean the old Pete Rozelle word parody, but you know what? A lot of folks last Sunday when Detroit walked into Chicago and won by a score of 4-0, Jeff Blashill, head coach of the Red Wings, and other folks basically saying maybe Detroit's strongest effort of the year. Then after that, it kind of goes the other way. Tell me about being consistent in this league. What's it take?
Well, you need about, I think if you've got like five players that are in, you know, their top, the top echelon of their positions, you can win. You can, like Chicago, with all due respect to Chicago, beating Chicago now is no great shakes. I mean, I looked at their roster, Mike, you've seen it. You know, you think they still are this great team, but you look at it, they got Kane and Taves and Keith. And then after that, you know, they're just a bunch of, you know, good average players. So they're not a contender anymore. You know, so I just think, Mike, there's Tampa Bay is good because Tampa Bay's got about five or six guys that are special. But even they've gone into dips. So I think there's about maybe three teams that I think are the best in the league, and not by a large margin, not like the old days, Mike, when you had dynasties, Detroit back in the 90s and stuff, or Colorado. There's nothing like that going on. So why it's so hard to win, you've got to play well, but you've also got to get some breaks because you can't intimidate. There's no more physical intimidation, where that used to be a big factor in teams going on long streaks and becoming dynasties. Like, you know, Detroit, you know, they had some pretty tough players there that were intimidating to play against. So I think this is going to continue. I think it's good for the fans, unless you don't have a very competitive team, then it's not. But it's just the nature of the business. The coaches work harder today than ever before with the video, with the things they're bringing in to try to make their players better. But the problem is, so is everybody else. Teams are, there's parity. And so it's sort of an intangible each night that will dictate. Like tonight, we're injured, Detroit's injured. We've beaten them
two out of the three. This is the third game. Devils have never swept Detroit 3-0 in a year. But I can't say that, well, the Devils are a shoe-in to win. I mean, this could go the other way just as easily as it could go for the Devils. So it's what the game has become. It's what sports has become. And I don't know, maybe it's good. It keeps everybody wondering, who's going to win the game each night.
Again, talking to Glenn Chico Rush. Red Wings go in. This is Drive Time, ESPN 106.5, the ticket. Red Wings go in at 18-20-7 in the standings. Red Wings, by the way, 2-2. They're home tomorrow night against the Philadelphia Flyers. Again, in New Jersey tonight, Glenn Chico Rush joined us. Hey, you mentioned Tampa Bay, and I'm kind of curious who you had. Two or three teams you think are at the top of the heap. Glenn, would you put Las Vegas there?
Mike, I mean, you have to. But you keep saying it can't be happening. You would scratch your head and you'd say, what kind of league is that? An expansion team's going to be the best team in the league with a shot at winning the Stanley Cup? Never, never, ever has it ever even come close to something like that. But this year, they seem to be the best team in the league. And I got to tell you, that ex-Red Wing standing behind the bench, he's a terrific coach. Wow. You know, Gerard Gallant, he was a good player, tough two-way player. And I asked some players that played for him. I said, what does he bring that's special from other coaches? He said he's kind of like a guy that you know what you're getting. He's approachable. He comes in and how you doing? And he makes you accountable, but he does it from a little bit of a lighter attitude than, say, other coaches. And it's not that they're bad coaches because they're a little more strict and a little more, you know, by the book. I don't know. Like, coaching may be one of the biggest factors, even more so than it used to be. And Gerard Gallant has those guys going. So I would say him. I thought St. Louis, but now St. Louis has been injured and, you know, they're struggling. Boston's been one of the hottest teams in the league. Mike, except for Tampa Bay, I think they have the most talent top to bottom. But other than that, you know, it's pretty much wide open.
Good stuff. Glenn, final question before I let you go. Gerard Gallant, I read a story in the Las Vegas paper the other night. He said, hey, I just treat every player absolutely the same. Not to debunk your theory, but if you had to name five, you know, big-time players in Vegas, I'd be hard-pressed to do that. Hey, Glenn, before I let you go, I was saddened yesterday to read, only because he spent 7 years in the IHL when I was there, but the passing of Jim Johansson, you know, the head of USA Hockey. Tell me about that. Over the years, you have a chance to meet him, and did you know him?
I did. I mean, Jim made a point of getting to know everyone. And, you know, just like we're talking about Gerard Gallant, he says he treats everyone the same. What those guys do, they treat everyone with respect. That's what it is, like ultimate respect. And Jimmy Johansson just did that. He had a people skill that was, if you were talking about sports, he would be an elite player in terms of his people skills. Plus, he loved the game. He had played it. You know, he just could go so many different directions. And just a shocking example of how fragile life is, because he's a young man, seemingly healthy. And so, Mike, and you know this, you and I made a living, I played. Sports is an escape. It's not life. You just can't get that much into it where your whole life revolves around your team. It's an escape, and that's why when fans anchor, and when you go to a game, you get lost in that game. You know, just be a fan 100%. But when it's over, just kind of let it go and then get back to real life and hug your kids and, you know, treat people well and try to be a positive influence, you know. And that's kind of the legacy of Jimmy Johansson. He just left people feeling good about themselves after you met him. And that's a great testimony for any of us.
No, very well said, Glenn. I won't get into it. We had a lot of this going on at the Superstore with the last a week or so. We lost some people, and what you said really very timely. Hey, listen, thanks for coming on. Give my best to everybody there in New Jersey, and somewhere down the road we'll talk again.
Thank you, Mike. Always a pleasure, buddy. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Glenn Chico Resch, longtime National Hockey League goaltender. Red Wings are there tonight. And, you know, his theory, every good team in the NHL's got about five great players. The only thing is you can hardly name anybody in Las Vegas' roster. They're an expansion team, and they've been absolutely unbelievable. Mike O'Hara, right around the corner. This is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Auto show specials continue. Back after this.
For annoying traffic jams, it's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. The auto show specials continue. Showrooms open until later this evening, 9 o'clock. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Great deals, as always. Great lease deals. Just got off the airways with Glenn Chico Resch, former National Hockey League goaltender, longtime television and radio analyst in New Jersey. Red Wings are in New Jersey tonight. They've lost 4 out of 5. Both clubs going into this one tonight banged up. Maybe the story of the year in the National the expansion Las Vegas Golden Knights. Well, it was championship weekend, of course, advancing New England and Philadelphia. Joining us now from DetroitLions.com. Reader, I hope you are too. Mike O'Hara joins us. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Howie. How are you? We keep fading in and out here. I think something's wrong with our signal.
No, okay. My apologies for that. I hope we got you now, Mike. Hey, first things first. Thanks for coming on. And number two, tell me about Matt yesterday. Did you take anything away from that game that you're going to be using in the likeliness that he's the next coach of the Detroit Lions? Any observations from about him yesterday?
That they adjust. That they what you did in the first half doesn't necessarily mean you can keep doing it in the second half. No, I'm not knocking Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator of the Lions, who's left for the job in Cincinnati, because I thought he did a really good job. But I remember the Minnesota game on Thanksgiving Day when the Lions had cut it to 20-10 with a touchdown late in the first half. Vikings come out in the second half, and they run 4 times for 75 yards and a touchdown. 4 straight plays ran right through them to start the third quarter, start the second half, made it 27-10, ball game over. I don't envision that ever happening. Don't recall that happening to the New England Patriots in a big game that they had to win. And you can see what happened yesterday. The Jaguars, who had a nice game plan going, couldn't convert a third down in the fourth quarter, couldn't move the ball, couldn't sustain possession. Now, they killed themselves, you know, with the one big delay of game penalty, but the Patriots' defense adapted, adjusted, closed them off, won the ball game.
You know what? I was surprised, too, as Mike O'Hara joins us here on Drive Time, home of the Detroit Lions, by the way, in southeast Michigan in the Toledo area. You know, I didn't know Reed Moore and Matt Patricia. I mean, he's put his time in, no doubt about it. Time under Bill Belichick as well on the offensive side of the ball. Tell me about that, guys. I don't want to say pigeonhole, but their expertise, their forte, is a defensive coordinator taking over as a head coach. I mean, what's he going to have to? I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, Mike, he's going to have to be a better. I don't want to say he's a bad communicator. He's going to have to communicate with more people. I'll put it that way.
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, as good as a defensive coach as Rod Marinelli was, he couldn't command the entire room here as a head coach. Marty Morningwig before him, and this is an extreme example, pretty good offensive coordinator, still working, you know, still having good jobs in the National Football League as an offensive coordinator, couldn't command the room as a head coach. He just, if you can't do that, the players, it's, whether it's subconsciously or just human nature, they will pick you apart on every little detail. Look, you've seen it in hockey, I'm sure. After the second week, they start doing the head coach's voice and his mannerisms and all that. And if he's too quirky and he can't command the room, they will pick you apart and nothing flat. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but it does happen. And, you know, Patricia's background is, you know, he's an offensive lineman in college at RPI, coached offensive line. He's done a lot of different things, but his forte has become defense. And he's been sought after for other jobs. This isn't the first, you know, this isn't his first opportunity. To me, the fact that from everything you read that he had a chance to become the head coach of the New York Giants and turned that down, or at least didn't pursue it fully, whatever the actual complete story is, tells you that he's got something pretty good going for him, because the New York Giants are one of the really landmark foundation franchises of the National Football League. They don't hire just anybody. Don't always get it right, don't get me wrong, but they do a pretty good job of going after people.
No, they have for years. I mean, the last 4 or 5 years haven't been great. Hey, what did you take away from, as Mike O'Hara joins us here on Drive Time? My name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board. We're a member of the Detroit Lions Radio Network. Talked hockey in the first portion of the show. Now a little NFL football. Number one, were you surprised? And what did you take away from the Eagles-Vikings game?
Yeah, surprised, really was. You know, I thought going into the game, knowing they were talking about the matchup of the quarterbacks, you know, four years ago with the Eagles, that Nate Foles had a season where he had 27 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions. In the matchup of the quarterbacks, Case Keenum's done nothing in his career to compare to that. So I thought that if Nate Foles played to his max, then that would be a huge advantage for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it turned out the way. I'm not saying I predicted it would happen, but I thought, you know, somebody, one of the two quarterbacks had at least on his log an outstanding Pro Bowl season. Case Keenum never had that. And really, I thought that was part of the difference. And then once they got him rolling, steam rolling, it just everything, you know, fell apart. The playmakers for the Vikings defensively did not make plays. That's what carries them more than their offense. And their offense it was a turnover machine.
Kid talking to .com, who, by the way, had his first mock draft on DetroitLions.com today. I read through that, and I got to tell you, you could not have pleased any of your readers more than you could have pleased me. We know running back is something the Lions are going to have to fix, but I have to tell you, when I read the name Sam Hubbard out of Ohio State, I'm a little bit of a homer there, I absolutely love him as a college player. I'm not always sure that equates to a great pro player, but I was glad to see his name in your story.
Yeah, he was one of my, you know, handful of guys that I projected as possibilities there. But for my first mock draft, mock 20, that's the 20th pick overall, 1.0, I'm giving the Detroit Lions Maurice Hurst, defensive lineman of the University of Michigan, or that team up north, I guess you guys call them.
We do.
And
they've
been called other things too. Including by me, but Maurice Hurst is the type of player who would fit the Detroit Lions defensively. He can play. I'm not saying he's Aaron Donald, but he's built along those lines, you know, quick penetrator, can play in the middle, can play, I think he could play outside on a 3-4 or a 4-3. I think he'd be versatile up and down the line of scrimmage and give you a playmaker wherever he plays. I think he'd be a good pick. I addressed the Saquon Barkley possibility. You'd have to give up probably 2 first-round draft picks, a second and a third, something along those lines of what was given up for your Carson Wentz and so on. It's so far to go from the 20th pick to at least the third pick where the Colts are to get Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's a transformative running back, but it'd be just, I think, too much to pay to get up there and get him.
Mike, I know I asked you this before, but, you know, I mean, listen, I'm getting to that point where I forget things all the time. I got to make little notes, and I lose the notes for crying out loud. But, I mean, is Bob Quinn, from what you've seen, and you mentioned positions like running back, the defensive tackle, outside linebacker, Sam Hubbard. Is he going to draft here by position, or is he going to draft by ability?
A combination of both, and I think that's the way to go. I think if you look, the Lions are not one position away from winning the Super Bowl, but they're not 10 positions away either. I think there are 3 or 4 things that they could plug into their team that would upgrade them. One would be a real, as we talked before, you know, a dynamic athlete in the front seven. They need another player at least. They probably need two players up there that then moves everybody else down a notch in the rotation and really playing, you know, at their true level. For example, instead of having a starting, and this is just any position, a starting defensive end playing 40 snaps as a starter, he's probably a 25 snap player. So if you replace him, then you get him into situations and playing time that really his talent level wants. I just want to, just one thing about yesterday's game, and I've used this on Mike on your show with you before about the difference between stats and plays and playmakers. The New England Patriots yesterday ran for something like 50 plays, counting the three kneel downs at the end of the game, 50 rushing yards from scrimmage. Those are stats, 50 yards. But the play was Deion Lewis running 18 yards on third and nine for a game clip. Those are plays, not stats. That's what the Lions need more of on certain parts of their team. They need plays, not stats.
No, well put, Mike. Anything else you want to touch on before I let you go? Number one, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. What are you going to be writing about? What can we be looking for?
Well, got a story coming out tomorrow on DetroitLions.com about where the Lions stand in the annual special teams ranking. Once again, they'll be a top 10 team, which is, you're not going to win everything on special teams, but they certainly didn't hurt themselves. It's one of the best units. You know, Joe Marciano, the coordinator on that side. And just one thing, he asked about Bob Quinn and which way he would go. And I'm going to echo what Lewis Riddick said on ESPN about a week ago when people were reporting that Matt Patricia was a solid choice to come to Detroit. He talked about institutional or philosophical agreement between the head coach and the general manager. They come from the same stock. They come from the same mold. And there's sort of an integrity, a thread of integrity that runs among them on what they look for, how they play, how they build a team, how they execute a plan. I think that's an absolute bonus for both people. Patricia taking the job, going to a place where a general manager thinks the way he does, and a general manager who's bringing in a coach who thinks the way he does. It's a pretty good match on paper.
It is. And no jealousy. I mean, I've seen this in so many organizations, like who the boss is. I hope that's the case. And a rocket scientist to boot. Hey, you mentioned special teams. I told somebody the other day, Detroit Tigers had a run with Bill Freehan and Lance Parrish behind the plate, lasted about a quarter of a decade. Lions special teams, Eddie Murray, Jason Hansen, now Matt Prater. That's been a pretty good run as well. Mike, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Always good hearing your voice. And I'll be reading tomorrow, sir.
Okay, sounds good. Can't wait to do it again.
All right, Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, talking Lions, talking championship weekend and more. TAS Electronics update, little sports, little weather, traffic as always, brought to you by Super Fitness Toledo. This show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. This is ESPN 106.5, The Ticket.